Yeah, this is our lab where most of our ISVs and OEMs bring their equipment and help us and will partner with us in our performance testing. I'm hoping you're still getting my voice. It's really loud in here. But I want to show one of the biggest boxes that we have. It's behind this door. So, you've seen my notebook. This one is slightly bigger.
Yeah.
This guy has 1 terabyte of RAM, 64.
1 terabyte of RAM.
1 terabyte of RAM.
Yeah.
64-bit Itanium 2 processors on them. And it actually connects to a bunch of disks, which I will show. They are not in here because they don't fit in here.
Yeah.
So, this is also a disk array for this guy. And it contains a bunch of things.
Well, it's kind of.
But every rack here contains like 10 disks, and this is just a log drive, literally. And let me show you where the disks are. I think they're... So if you come back here, come on.
All right, let's get behind the Superdome.
Yeah. So you can see those thin orange lines?
Yep.
They are the ones, actually. It is fiber connect to that house. So we will need to kind of follow the orange thin line. As you can see, all these fiber connects actually tied up all over the place. So you kind of need to go up. Hey, this is these three, these four, and these five. So maybe you should take it. It's pretty impressive. There are about 2,500 disk drives here. And funny, but as we were, before we did one of our benchmark numbers last year, we ran into a problem. We ran out of power in this floor. We couldn't spin up all the disks. We literally ran out of power. So we had to go ahead and buy a new power distribution unit. Cost us like $250,000. This is kind of funny, but you never think of, hey, you need to run a benchmark. You will run out of power. I've heard of running out of AC limits, which we also ran into. Obviously it works now perfectly fine.
Yep. But The Visual Studio Lab is at its limits. They can't put any more boxes.
Yeah, we have the same problem. Yeah. So power is our...
How many megs are two gigs on each one?
No, 18.2 gigs on each. These are kind of small disks. But on this one, the interesting thing for us is throughput and the parallel, because parallel reading capacity, so that we can increase the throughput of the system. Most of these disks work in parallel in order to support those big boxes over there.
Yeah.
And we need this many disks in order to run those CPUs to their limits. So
now, this isn't where you compile SQL Server, is it?
No.
Would it compile in a few microseconds on this way?
I doubt it, actually. Unfortunately, compilation is not a very parallelized process. So
yeah.
We should get a lot better in that one, too. But this is pretty cool. I don't know how long you want to stay here. It's freezing cold.
It's pretty cold in here. Yeah. Actually, let me just stop. All right.
We'll head back this way.
Oh, those labs are really neat.
Very cooling. Great place to be in the summertime.
Oh, yeah.
Well, not a very popular place to be in the wintertime, but a lot of people get very excited about doing a little lab work at the height for summertime. Go in, sit down, chill out. So one of the key secrets at Microsoft with all buildings is finding the secret nooks and crannies of a given building and working out where the best food is and where the games are. And we saw earlier on there was a foosball tables and a pool and a ping pong table.
Yep.
There was a pool table hidden in one of the corridors as well. And this is an area where we have yet another hidden foosball table. So you have to search out the buildings and find little nooks and crannies where you can have some fun during the day.
Hey, you have a nice view of Bill's office.
We do indeed. Actually, you can see both Bill and Steve's offices from here. If you get the right angle, you can see Bill's office and then Steve's office, the fifth floor executive staff.
Yeah.
And more importantly, they can see us and obviously keep an eye on us.
Oh, yeah. Wave at Bill.
Wave at Bill, yeah. So now we're going to go and head back downstairs again, and this time we're going to visit the data mining team. Before we do that, last of the Rogues Gallery.
More MVPs.
Do you know this SQL Server MVP?
Larry Cotter. Yeah. So who's your favorite MVP? Are you allowed to say
it? I'm probably not allowed to say that.
All right.
Tony, actually, this guy here that you're just looking at now, is probably the one that keeps me the busiest because
he looks funny.
I'm from the UK, and whenever I go to the UK, he manages to find out that I'm going to the UK either on business or pleasure and ends up booking me for a day at the user group meeting. So actually, I'm going next week to the UK to work in the Reading office for a week to visit customers, and Tony has me booked for 4 hours on the Wednesday night to come and do a presentation. And normally, I'm going to do a conference, so I have content available. This time, I have an hour of content for 4 hours, and I'm sure there'll be enough questions to keep me busy for the entire period.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going back downstairs again.
Okay.
Okay, back on the second floor with the BI teams, and this time we're going to go visit the data mining team, but we'll find another magic little nook hidden in the building first. Yet another foosball table, relaxing area, and the arcade game hidden away in the corner for us so as not to disturb anybody.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to keep walking this way until we hit Jamie's office. In fact, this is where we're going right here.
Cool.
This is Jamie McClellan, who's the dev lead on data mining.
Hi, you're
excited about data mining. How are you doing?
Data mining, wow.
I am data mining.
I love your screen, Sam. So what is data mining?
So data mining is automatic discovery of information inside of data. So it's different than other kind of analysis like OLAP or relational analysis where you look for patterns and you query for patterns. Data mining, what it does is it automatically applies statistical and artificial intelligence and machine learning techniques to scan your data and find the patterns that are hidden inside.
Interesting.
And then when you find those patterns, you can look at them, you can browse them, or you could use them to do new things, to find out new things, to do things like find missing values or suggest products or detect anomalies, all those kind of different kind of things you could do with data mining.
So he's the guy I need to hit up for on the weekends for my RSS news aggregator.
Yes. Actually, we have text mining as well, so we can actually find all the key phrases and terms in text mining and find out which ones are related to each other.
Yeah.
And find out which ones are predictive of different things. Yeah. Like you could actually take a blog entry and find out if it's humans' blogs or somebody else's.
Because every night I'm reading 950 blogs, and I don't want to do that forever.
We're actually building a prototype for the content guys that uses some of the technology from Jamie's team using text data mining. And the integration services technology you saw earlier on with Mike, they can consume RSS feeds. So when you take the ability to consume multiple concurrent streams of data with the learning that Jamie's talking about, we actually have a demo we've shown a couple of times where we take in a blog feed and we say, these are the ones we think are interesting to you based on things you found interesting in the past. So it's something that we show on stage, but we're really trying to use it inside the company as a way of leveraging content and being able to prioritize and rank content. So it's something you'll see more of. So we're one step ahead of you.
Excellent. And that's what you're trying to do for businesses, right?
Yeah. So what we do is actually to do these things where the patterns are non-obvious. Or in businesses right now, currently, we have a lot of products that tell them what things are and where things are. But we don't have a lot of products that tell them why. Right, to give them how things are related, why things are happening, and that's what data mining does. Actually, we have a lot of groups who are looking at it even to look at system health, right? You know, what are the set of circumstances that happen together which indicate impending system failure? We have a guy in Microsoft Research who's looking at Watson data, and what he's doing is he's using the Watson crash logs and clustering those together. And he's finding out that the typical Watson curve, which goes out to infinity and all these little things which don't add up to anything, actually a lot of those little things are really the same bug. And he's finding this out with data mining, and if you add them all together, they're bigger than the big crashes.
Interesting.
So there's a lot of interesting ways to apply data mining. And what we're doing actually in SQL Server data mining is a little different than what has been done previously by other companies. What we're doing is we're taking the Microsoft Research work, which is all the work is done here in Redmond and some in Beijing for Microsoft Research. We're taking that and we're packaging up in a way that takes data mining and makes it accessible to developers as opposed to the analysts where it's previously been the forte. We're actually trying to make it accessible to developers who can actually build a new breed of intelligent applications by embedding data mining technology. Nick, do you want to show you a demo?
Sure. Let me switch my menu here. Hold on a second. Cool.
So here's a demo of just a simple data form, right? It's okay. just a data entry form. And I can go to the data entry form, and let's go and select some values, such as male for age, for gender, say he's 25, say he's has a high school degree, 12 years. He works on a farm, and his father hasn't bought the farm yet, so he's a son, in relation to head of household, son. I go ahead and submit that, and the data entry form takes that. Let's go, I put the data in here again and say, you know, male is 25 years old, and I say, whoops, it's 25 years of education, farm, and son, and I hit submit. And it says, hey, there's suspicious data entry in the education field, right? Well, okay, because obviously if you're 25 years old, you can't have a 25 years of education and so forth. But I can go here and switch that again. Let's go fix that education years back to 12. And let's go switch gender here to female, and I hit accept. And says, oh, now there's suspicious data entry in relation to a household field. Now, the interesting thing is that there's no code which does data validation. What there is a data mining model in the back end, which is a clustering model, and we send this DMX query, which is our SQL language for talking to data mining models. And what the DMX query says, it says select from my model, do a function called predict case likelihood, which gives me a number which says, does this data look like reasonable data or not? So data mining can actually do my data validation, not having to write complex data validation code for every possible scenario. I just show it data that I know is good, and it can tell me if new data is good or not. And I can apply that in the DTS, in the integration services pipeline. I can apply that in an app custom application. I can apply that wherever I want to. Additionally, I can also go to a typical example where you might see data mining is like a storefront site. And I can go here and I see here's a movie, American Beauty, and I can scroll down and it says the people who liked this movie also liked these other movies. Now the way we did this, the way we got this information actually was a prediction query, and it's really just a query against a model. We predict the top five movies somebody's gonna like if they like American Beauty. Now this is actually kind of easy, but let's go up here and add that to our cart, and it shows up in our cart, and then we go into Batman and Robin here, which is one of the recommendations, add that to my cart. And now what happens is I use the same kind of query, but it has American Beauty and Batman and Robin in my shopping basket, and I'm getting a recommendation list which is custom to that user, real time, on the web, wherever you want to, embedded in an application using a simple ADO connection and a simple SQL style query.
Oh, that's awesome. That's a great demo.
So we can go to www.sqlserverdatamining.com, and those same demos are available across the internet for anybody who wants to use them. We have a live server available on the internet. You can go to the movie click demo, the data validation demo, click on there and run the demo, and you have the demo available to anybody who wants to see it.
That's great.
Running on beta 2 of SQL Server 2005.
That's great. Thank you very much.
So,
cool.
Yeah, well, here's the wall. Here's the data mining wall. Come see the data mining wall.
Okay.
Here's our SQL Server data mining banner. And on here, we have some examples of things that people have done with data mining. For example, here's an analysis using our sequence clustering algorithm of MSDN usage. This is one day of MSDN usage. And what this does, this algorithm does, it clusters people by their behavior. So they actually group people together by the way they behave on a website. Here, for example, is our association rules viewer, and this is actually a model built on properties of immune system types and amino acids, detecting on looking for answers to how different treatments work against on the treating the AIDS vaccine, AIDS virus. Here's an example on IDSS's website of a model that's being used to detect churn and upgrade fatality for MSN converters, so people who switch to MSN converters from to increase storage on MSN8, and I think that's actually in Germany. Then here's just some pictures of our different data mining models that we have in UConn. We have decision trees, which has regression trees as well. We have our standard clustering, which groups your things together in like groups. Our time series, which is good for forecasting, and our time series is really cool because you can actually take multiple time series together and find the cross relationships between different time series. So you can find out if there's a relationship like between Oracle stock and Microsoft stock. it would show up in the model if you showed it. Sequence clustering is the one I showed you before. It shows the patterns related to how people behave. Association rules finds things that happen together, and our naive Bayes, which is always a funny name, the name comes from the Reverend Thomas Bayes, who I think in the 16th century invented the math, which is basically the foundation for machine learning. And he lived in a monastery, and he came up with this ability to learn from experience mathematically, which is really cool. And also we have neural nets and text mining as well.
Okay.